And he hid himself. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Canon, dear Father, dear faithful. What is it that we do not see? Why the veil? Holy Church in her liturgy now turns our attention to focus on a great mystery, the cross. God the Son becomes man and dies for our redemption. A divine mystery, as the Catechism says, is a truth revealed by God which, not going contrary to human reason, greatly surpasses our understanding. That God would require justice for the offenses against him, yes, that makes sense to us. Justice is to give to each one what he deserves. The malefactor expiate his crime, and that the victim be vindicated in his rights. What is mysterious to us, though, is that God would send his only begotten Son to be despised, and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows. And as the prophet Isaiah foretold, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his bruises we are healed. St. John Henry Newman, meditating on the 12th station of the cross, wrote, "The Eternal Father determined not to pardon us without a price, in order to show us an especial favor. He condescended to make us valuable to him. What we buy, we put a value on. He might have saved us without a price by the mere fiat of his will, but to show his love for us, he took a price, which, if there was to be a price set upon us at all, if there was any ransom at all to be taken for the guilt of our sins, there could be nothing short but the death of his Son in our nature." The cross is a mystery of God's love for us. "Greater love than this no man hath," said our blessed Lord, "that a man lay down his life for his friends." The sufferings of our loving Savior are worth pondering and taking to heart. Like St. Mary Magdalene, looking up at the cross, we can say within ourselves, "Ah, it is my concupiscence of the flesh that tore those wounds at the blood-drenched pillar of the scourging. It is my concupiscence of the eyes that covered his adorable face with that spittle. It is my pride of life that pressed that crown of thorns into his sacred brow. It is my rebellious, ungrateful heart that struck those nails into his hands and into his feet. Ah, my Jesus, to think that I am worth to you the value of your most precious blood." Meditation on the Passion of our Lord will produce in us, like in Mary Magdalene, a sincere contrition, that is, a detestation of our sins, not merely like, "Oh, I stopped doing that," but that we truly hate and despise those sins and offenses that we have done to God who is so good and loving to us. It will also produce in us great gratitude, making our purpose of amendment strong and firm in following Christ and forsaking sin. "Think not, O man, that thy debt is less because God suffered for all men as well as for thee," writes the Venerable Louis of Granada. "Each of his creatures was as present to his divine mind as if he died for him alone. His charity was so great, the holy doctors tell us, that had but one man sinned, he would have suffered to redeem him. Consider, therefore, what thou owest a master who has done so much for thee, and who would have still done more had thy welfare required it. The more we remember the sufferings of Christ, the less willing we will be to crucify him again. When temptations come, follow the advice of St. Francis de Sales to turn your heart towards Jesus crucified and make an act of love to him, kiss his feet. This is the best way of overcoming the enemy, he says. Especially if one falls habitually into grave sin or suffers continuously many temptations. Meditation on our Lord's sufferings will be a remedy, moving that one foot of ours out of the pit of hell. And so, because for what temptation can withstand the cross by which the devil was conquered, the flesh mortified, and the world shaken? However, my dear faithful, if we hardly think of what our Lord has done for us and his immense love that he has for us, then we will be as callous as those who walked past Calvary, giving it a trifling thought on that first Good Friday. The veil will remain over our hearts as well, and we will despise his love for some momentary indulgence, even to our eternal ruin. What folly! What blindness! But we must admit, the less we think of something, the more we forget it. The saints knew this, and so they meditated on our Lord's passion and death frequently, if not daily. We should do likewise through the stations of the cross, the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, the reading of the passion accounts in the Holy Gospels, or merely looking upon a crucifix. These pious exercises will help us see and understand. They will lift the veil from our hearts. When that veil falls on the Great Friday and the mystery is shown to us, may our minds not remain oblivious nor our hearts indifferent towards our Savior. Instead, may we look upon him whom we have pierced, upon him whose heart has been opened for us, and understanding it, open our hearts to him. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.